We are starting on lesson 7 in biblical prophecy, and I know I've read this scripture several times in a prior lesson. I'm going to read it again real quickly. I may make some comments on it, but we will be covering new ground. I had mentioned in the closing of lesson 6 that we would be getting into the Antichrist, where he's from, and certain things about his kingdom. I want to share in this lesson something that some of you may well be aware of, and some of you may have never heard of or have any knowledge of. So here we go. Revelation chapter 17, I'm going to read verses 3 through 17. John speaking, he's talking about he was carried away in the Spirit. So he carried me away in the Spirit into the wilderness. And as we've covered, I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the name of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. We have identified that woman as a false religious system, and we have identified, and rightly so, through the Word of God, that this 7-headed beast, the Bible itself tells us, is actually 7 kingdoms that arise, and then the 10 horns are actually 10 leaders that will arise in this 7th kingdom, of which the Antichrist starts the 8th kingdom from the 7th, and that will be the kingdom of the Antichrist, which will cover the same geographic locations thereabout of this 7th empire. And it says the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. She was decked with gold and precious stones. She's wealthy. She has a golden cup in her hand full of abominations, filthiness for fornication, and of course upon her forehead, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints, the blood of martyrs, of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered. And the angel said to me, "Why do you marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of her, the woman, the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns." And as I said, we've identified these 7 heads and the 10 horns. And then this is where we're headed today. Verse 8. "The beast that thou saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is." And so what we see now is we have already spoken about this head wound is not to an individual person, but it was to a beast. And we see where the beast represents nations. We have identified where around 460, 470 AD, the Roman Empire, as we know it, fell. And then in the prior lesson, we have seen where the United Nations of Europe, or the European Union, has now come about after the year 2000. I can't remember what year it was, if it was 2002 or somewhere in there. And then it goes on to say, so we now have this sixth beast coming back to life. The head wound has been healed. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. And of course, in John's day, as he was banished to the Isle of Patmos, all this description, no doubt, he understood it was speaking of Rome. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th and is of the 7th and goeth into perdition. So it's speaking of a governmental system out of nations that have existed in the past. And this is going to be the kingdom of the Antichrist. And then, of course, it goes on to tell us the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings which have received no kingdom yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And we identify that there is another horn that comes up. And we find this in the book of Daniel 700 years before the book of Revelations is written. And that is called the little horn. And we covered that in lesson number 6. And then it tells us that whenever this beast comes to power, this will be in the middle of the 7-year period, or after three and a half weeks, so to speak. It says, then these, the 10 horns, at that time they'll no longer need the false religious system, because they will have established a worldwide Messiah, or a worldwide as far as covering his territory. And now then they will all have to make allegiance to this man of sin, or the Antichrist. And of course that allegiance will come through the form of having a mark or an implanted chip, or however that unfolds, to where you can be governed and buy and sell. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him. And we see where the Lamb's going to overcome this final beast. And then Verse 16, "And the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, shall make her desolate, naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God puts in her heart to fulfill His will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled." So, we've pretty well worn that out already. I don't think there's any questions on that. You can go back and listen to the prior lesson. But today, to identify and understand the Antichrist and his kingdom, we must identify this eighth kingdom in Revelation chapter 17. This eighth kingdom is going to be the empire of the Antichrist when he comes to rule. So in Revelation 17, we read this in verses 10 through 12, "And there are seven kings, five are fallen and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh and go into perdition. And the 10 horns which you saw have not received a kingdom yet." So, what we have already identified is we have now seen how the sixth kingdom had its deadly head wound applied, but yet this beast has been restored. And, of course, my opinion, as well as many others, is that this is the restored beast, is the revised Roman Empire, which lives again as the European Union. And, therefore, as we mentioned before, this prophecy has now been fulfilled, which is really pretty phenomenal, probably almost as phenomenal as Israel coming back to life in 1948. Now, adding to this prophecy, which has been fulfilled, I want to address something that is in the works that I believe is going to complete this seventh kingdom in the earth, from which the eighth kingdom, or the kingdom of the Antichrist, will take control of the seventh kingdom, which is what makes this seventh kingdom the eighth, because they will give their power to one man. And what we are looking at here is we're looking again at this great image that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed and seen this image. Without going back over the Babylonian, the Persian, the Grecian, and the Roman Empire, we see when we get down to the two legs of iron that the kingdom is split, and we see there where this empire that falls, there are 10 toes, and they are mixed with clay and partly with iron. Two types of governmental systems is what many believe this represents, that will unite and come to one being. But I want you to notice that in this image, this prophetic image that Nebuchadnezzar has, that Daniel interprets, that there are two legs when we get to the Roman Empire. And those of you that understand history, I want you to notice that when we get to these legs of iron, which we have established is the Roman Empire, that this image is split for a purpose into two legs, and that is this. The prophesied revised Roman Empire, which we labeled the fulfillment of being the European Union, only covers the ancient western portion of the ancient Roman Empire. Now, this is going to be important for where we're going. I doubt any of you in this room have heard what I'm about to share. So maybe some of our listeners, if you have. So you can check this out. I'll tell you, Wikipedia is an awesome source just to check out even biblical verses, believe it or not. But you'll be able to check out a lot of what I'm about to say here. So this prophesied revised Roman Empire, which we label the fulfillment of being the European Union, remember, it only covers the ancient western portion of the ancient Roman Empire. And for those of you that know that, that is the more or less the British Isles and Italy and that area of the world. Now, that is only a picture of one of the legs in Daniel's great image that Nebuchadnezzar had seen in his dream. And we mentioned the other leg very well could represent that the reason the split went off is because one leg represents Hail Caesar, and then it split off into that which is still alive today and has been ever since the empire fell. And we went into a little bit of history how the popes actually crowned the kings, and they were over. They have committed fornication with the kings of the earth. They reigned and ruled. And so a possibility of the split legs is because we went from Hail Caesar to Papal Rome. But the reason for division, historically, in these two legs, what it probably represents, many things, but what it probably represents as well is the fact that those of you that recognize how large the Roman Empire was, that the Roman Empire in its day before it fell actually divided into two different portions. You had the Western Roman Empire and you had the Eastern Roman Empire. It was all one empire, but it became too large to effectively govern as a whole from just Rome. So what happens? Well, I'll tell you what happens. The seat of the authority for the eastern portion of the empire became Constantinople, which of course was founded by Constantine. and it was located in what we call modern-day Turkey. And so we have been teaching about the Roman Empire restored, but what I have shared with you thus far is really just the Gentile portion of the Roman Empire. But the Roman Empire is bigger than these nations that are the European Union. It was much larger than this because that's just the western portion. So if you can grasp what I'm about to share, I think you'll understand how events that you see on your nightly news could really align with what I'm about to share here. So even though the Western Empire collapses around 470 AD, the Eastern Empire remains as the Byzantine Empire for almost another 1,000 years. When I was in Istanbul the last time, I was there actually two different times for the presidential elections, and I had to vote absentee ballot. I'll be sure and get my vote in for our president. And those of you that have never been to Turkey or been to, I was at visiting the old church sites there, but the oldest Christian churches in Istanbul, which was Constantinople, now are all mosques. And it's predominantly Muslim, and Christian may not be safe there even then. So this eastern portion of the kingdom fell in the 14th century, and it fell to the Ottoman Empire, which was a Muslim empire. And they conquered Constantinople, and they changed its name to Istanbul. Now, if you can picture that which has been shall be. So we now have the seat of Christianity, Constantinople and Rome. We now have Constantinople is conquered by the Muslims or the Ottoman Empire. And watch, if those of you that know what happens, the Ottoman Muslim Empire stands until the 1920s. And then it's conquered by none other than Europe again. Here comes Britain and their allies. And this gave the British and their allies possession of Syria, Iraq, Palestine. I have to call it Palestine because this is in the 1920s. Because it didn't get its name changed to Israel until 1948, Lebanon, Jordan. Thus, the eastern portion of the revised Roman Empire begins to be formulated again. Now, stay with me. I know this history can be a little boring. So what's the point for all this history? I want to give you a very likely possibility of this seventh kingdom that is coming to power being finalized. It's happening even as I speak, and even if it doesn't come to fulfillment, or happen, it will not change the blueprint of the prophetic unfolding of Scripture that we're going to be sharing, but it certainly can add to should it continue on. However, if it happens, it could bring great clarity of focus to the prophetic picture of the end times here. I believe soon that we're going to see this sixth empire, the revised Roman Empire, completed and totally transforming her into this seventh empire on the earth. And the reason that's important is because that will be the physical location of the Antichrist's reign and of the Eighth Empire. And I think this is going to make a lot of sense to you. I'm not teaching anything and claiming prophetic revelation. I'm just sharing what is a possibility here. This Seventh Empire is where the Antichrist will arise from, and he will form the terror of the Eighth Kingdom. And this Eighth Kingdom will be the kingdom of the Antichrist, from which 10 horns, or leaders that rule, will give their power to him. Remember the 10 horns on the 7-headed beast. Remember the 10 toes on the great image. So I'm about to show you on the screen here, and I'm sorry for our listeners, you can't view this, but you can go to Wikipedia and pull it up. I'm going to show you a map of something that we call the UFM. And how many are familiar with this Union of Nations called the UFM? Probably none of you. UFM stands for the Union for the Mediterranean. And what's interesting about this map is when you look at the blue portions, they are already the established EU. That is the old Roman western portion of the Roman Empire. And now we've got Constantinople that is pretty much the land bridge there in Turkey. And you see where, beginning at Turkey, these other nations that are joining, and they are not joining the EU. But the EU is the one that came up with this idea, and it's already established. It's going on as I speak. So this is not conjecture. This is fact, what I'm sharing with you. So what's interesting is we now see this UFM or this unions from the Mediterranean. They are the fulfillment now of the eastern portion of the Roman Empire. So as this thing gains momentum, these 15 member partner countries that are joining with the EU to create the union and of formation of the Mediterranean, they will complete the west and the eastern portion of the Roman Empire, which then is a perfect picture of prophecy. That's pretty unbelievable. I want to take a look at the map of this alliance and see that it is comprised of no longer just the revised Western Roman Empire, but with this UFM alliance, it now includes the eastern portion of the revised Roman Empire. And the formation of the UFM was in July of 2008 with its headquarters in Barcelona. When I was in Barcelona, I went by and I have pictures of it, not that it means anything, but I mean, this is going on. You see, while we in America are so busy doing great things, reaching the lost, sending out missionaries, we are very unaware that the Bible story is being fulfilled in the lands of the Bible, in the Roman Empire, in the Syrian Empire, in the Medo-Persian Empire, because it doesn't discuss us or the great superpowers of the world. If we happen to be modern-day Babylon, we aren't going to be involved in any of the end-time stuff. We'll be obliterated. But Russia and China are mentioned because they will show up. But the situation that's going on, and you'll find this interesting, is that the UFM is formulated in July of 2008 at headquarters out of Barcelona, and it's working through problems. And the problems that it has are due to the Middle East peace process and a few other instabilities. Therefore, we need a man to solve this peace problem in the Middle East. Can I tell you something? America has got nothing to do, in my opinion. I mean, I feel very safe saying this. America's got nothing to do with peace in Israel. Our American politicians, they're a joke in Israel anyway now, but they have nothing to do with Bible prophecy. What's really going on, we should keep our eyes on, are these players that I'm sharing with you, because they are the biblical end time players. You're not even mentioned. So the EU, along with this UFM alliance, completes almost, and once again I'm going to say almost completes, every major country that I see listed in Bible prophecy end time events. This union for the Mediterranean would not include the three superpowers in Bible prophecy, which would be Russia, China, and whoever Babylon the Great is, that country that falls in an hour. When you look at this map of the union and formation of the nations around the Mediterranean, one of their purposes stated it is for economic stability. Now, I could go off on a tangent and express what all I found out about that. With the fluctuation of the euro, by combining these two economies, we could come up with a superpower that could actually undergird the euro. But let me take a big step from that. We also see how we could have an economic system that we would need a new currency. And this currency that we would replace at the time in trouble for the euro, would it be feasible or possible that someday it would just go to electronic money? Mark of the beast. And what's interesting is, and I'm giving you an opinion, that should this thing continue to gain ground, and it's gained quite a bit of ground, that these two alliances would be the revised Roman Empire and would begin to perfectly align with what we're sharing here in biblical prophecy that we couldn't have shared a few short years ago. So why is the UFM possibly important to our Bible prophecy lesson? Well, it's because it would be comprised of portions. Listen to this. This is what it would do for us. With the UFM and the EU coming together, it would be comprised of portions of all seven heads or beasts that the woman will ride in the future. In other words, this union is comprised of a portion of all seven kingdoms or heads listed in Daniel and Revelations, being Egypt, Assyria, portions of Babylon, Medo-Persian, Greece, the Roman Empire, and the revived Roman Empire. we would have a complete picture now and a complete landmass that would be the seventh final kingdom to come to world power. I know when we think of world power, we don't think of any country except America, the proud lady, of which now we would have the eighth kingdom of the Antichrist identified. And with that, with us identifying that, that means we can identify where the person of the Antichrist comes from. One more tidbit of info that I'll just throw out. I could spend more than enough time on this UFM. But a large portion of the election campaign of French President Nicolas Sarkozy in 2007 was to finally establish a Mediterranean Union. And those of you that may remember, President Sarkozy said that this union was going to be modeled on the EU blueprint and would share judicial area and common institutions. And in June of 2008, it happened, and it was formulated. And President Sarkozy invited all the heads of state and government from the UFM, the regions around the Mediterranean, to Paris. And it was here that the basis for this union was laid. And this union was noted, and this is interesting, this union was noted as being enthusiastically supported by Israel and Egypt. Now, why would I want to share this with you? Possibility. We have the Antichrist that makes a peace accord or a military alliance with Israel. And I've wondered, how do we get Europeans and Israelis together? You've just seen how. Common judicial area and common institutions, and these two coming together fulfill perfectly a revised Roman Empire completed, and to have Israel enthusiastically support this program. We now have, in my opinion, I'm giving you my opinion, that's what prophecy is, you know. We see now where Israel has aligned herself with being able to accept a leader. Now, where will this leader hail from that will end up being the man of the Antichrist? Currently, you may find this a little interesting. 10 horns, 10 toes. Currently, today, may change tomorrow, currently as I speak, the UFM framework is a 5+5 forum. It's made up of a group of 10 leading nations, 5 from the EU and 5 from the UFM. That's pretty coincidental, all this stuff, isn't it? So here I'd like to reiterate that this UFM could or could not play a role in prophecy, but it certainly is bringing Bible prophecy more clearly into focus. And with this piece of information, and it was this piece of information that made me really want to get these lessons on tape, because should it come to pass that this ends up being the kingdom of the Antichrist, I mean, it's already happened. We're not talking about what might happen. This is in the works as I'm speaking. But it really is going to, you'll see here now when we try to identify how does the Israeli people join up with Muslims or Europeans and allow them to write this peace pact. Well, let's look at the Antichrist here for a moment. In Daniel chapter 9, verse number 26, going back 700 years once again before the book of Revelations was written, about 2,650 years ago from us. And in Daniel 9:26, the prophecy, and I'm coming into the middle of it, and after 62 weeks, and we have interpreted that to understand that means after 3.5 years in the prophecy that will apply to the season of the Antichrist. However, in Daniel 9:26, when Daniel is given the dream of the little horn, he's also given the dream with has other interpretations that will fit Alexander the Great, some other nations that have already come and gone. So when we get to this, what we call the 70 weeks of Daniel, when I look at the 26th verse in chapter 9, it's actually talking about 39 years, or let's see, 60. How many years is it? 60. It's actually talking about 62 years. Shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself? And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end shall thereof be with a flood, and to the end of the war desolations are determined. Now, this prophecy is completed in 70 AD with Titus destroying the temple of God in Jerusalem. So anyone reading this knows that the people of the prince were the Roman Empire. So I want to back up and read this. I want to read it again. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. In other words, not for any sins he did or anything wrong he did. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. This is a prophecy of Titus when he comes in, and everyone in this room and listening to me understands that this is a Roman. From the Roman Empire, that which has been shall be. He desecrates the temple. Now watch. Now I'm not talking about Antiochus Epiphanes. I'm talking about Titus. When he destroys it, carries the gold back. They finish the Roman Colosseum there in Rome with the riches of it. So this prophecy is completed in 70 AD. But once again, we're getting ready to make a huge jump between verse 26 and verse 27. And verse 26 tells us that the prince to come, this is another name for the Antichrist, it tells us what nation he will arise from, which is the nation or the landmass or the Roman Empire in that day. So this prophecy that was completed in 70 AD with Titus destroying the temple of God in Jerusalem, this is our first clue as to the nationality of the prince or the nationality of the Antichrist. And one of the things we have learned about Bible prophecy is after something comes to pass, you can be 100% sure about it. But one of the problems that even biblical people had in the days of Yeshua, Jesus, when he came, is some portions of the scripture said he's coming out of Egypt. Some said he was out of Bethlehem, and some said he was a Nazarene. Well, God gave them bits and pieces, and he fulfilled all three. He did come out of Egypt to start his messianic ministry. He did come out of Nazareth to be a Nazarene, and he was born in Bethlehem. Now, I'm telling you that because when we get to the Antichrist, it is not like it is. It's not like it just says, it gives you two or three different ideas, and all of them are going to fit this one man, and they will make perfect sense when it comes to pass. So, our first clue to the nationality of this prince or Antichrist is he is of Roman origin. In other words, his nationality, whether in today's modern society would be called Roman, he will hail, he will ride that beast that what one time was the landmass of the Roman Empire. In Revelation 13:1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, I'm going back to Daniel to read verse 27. So I went to back to Revelations to share that the Antichrist comes up on this seven-headed beast. He becomes the eighth kingdom. But let's go back to Daniel, and we read verse 26. Now I want to read verse 27. Actually, I think the way to do this is for me to back up and read 26 and 27 together. I'm in Daniel chapter 9, so here we go. Daniel 9:26-27. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And I may have made a mistake earlier. My mind's not quite working. I got up at 1:45 this morning and we fasted yesterday, so that's my excuse. It has nothing to do with being almost 60 years old. All right. So I can't remember how long the 62 weeks are, and I know this every day. I just can't pull it up right now. But not for himself and the people of the prince that shall come, destroying the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And to the end of the war, desolations are determined. Let's read verse 27 now, the very next verse. And he, speaking of the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So we're not talking about Titus. We've now moved along to this prince that will be Roman that will make this peace accord with Israel for 7 years. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the middle of the week, 3.5 years or in the middle of the 7-week period, 3.5 weeks, this we know it equals the 7 years of the prophecy of Jacob's time of trouble, or the 7-year tribulation, with the last 3.5 years being the wrath of God. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the middle of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even, watch this, until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so what we see is we see it's speaking of a future prince that will come that will make this peace alliance with Israel for 7 years. And of course, this is what we see and hear Bible prophecy teachers share with us. I feel certain, as many teachers do, I feel certain that the Antichrist will be from the old revised Roman Empire. Now, here is why I think today's lesson is important. Because he can be from the Roman Empire, which I feel like would perfectly fulfill Bible prophecy, and anyone that tries to get him coming from anywhere else, I'm not aware of where they get the scripture for it. But which leg or kingdom of the Roman Empire will he come from? Will he come from the Assyrian side, the Egyptian side, or will he come from the Italian and the Greek side? You understand what I'm saying to you? So when we look at where the Antichrist comes from, either the Eastern Kingdom or the Western Kingdom of the Roman Empire, does this necessarily mean that the Antichrist must be of Italian descent? No. Suddenly we have opened a whole new venue, and it begins to make sense with what's going on in the Middle East. Stay with me. He could be of Italian descent, but if this union for the Mediterranean continues on to become a dominant player in the end time events, there are other options for the Antichrist nationality. He could be Roman, he could be Italian, he could be Assyrian, he could be Israeli, he could be Greek, he could be Egyptian, etc. You can walk through it. My best guess, and I have my reasons that I will not be sharing here because I can't prove them. I can't prove any of this stuff. My best guess is watch Turkey. And I'll just throw this out. Turkey is where it was conquered. It was the new seat of Christianity. And Turkey has had Muslim still to this day. All the Jews, where did Paul go? The seven churches of Asia. Where were they? Turkey. Ephesus. Great place if you ever get a chance to go there. My best guess is Turkey, and it's just a guess for my own scriptural reasons. Others say he's going to be Assyrian. Some say he may be a Jew. Others say he will be a Muslim. I'm going to back up a little bit here and punt. And without sharing all the reasons as to why everybody says all these things, unless some of you can prove differently and share with me, and I'll share that later in the next lesson, I could walk you through all the scriptures we have, and you're still not going to make a positive ID. Will it be a Jew? Will it be a Gentile? Will it be a Muslim? I'm aware of all the scripture, I think. And I will tell you that from reading the scripture, he will not discern the God of his fathers. He could be a Christian. He could be a Jew. He could be a Muslim. So the truth is we don't know. No one knows. And it's not important. Because I don't plan on being here, but it's great to teach in prophecy. So let's close with this. So what about, we do know that his name will be 666. And that's interesting. All of you that are here in this class today have heard us teach on gematria and the numerical equation or equivalent of Hebrew names. And there's a very good chance that he'll be able to be identified by that. In Revelations 13 and 18, and then we'll continue through the other scriptures and revelations that bear out what we will know about the Antichrist. And really, I may mention a little bit more about him in the next lesson, but the Antichrist, once we understand where his kingdom is, that's really all we need to understand and what his motive is, and we already have a good grasp on that. It's the spirit of the Antichrist, just like Hitler's, to be the world leader. It's to have people ultimately worship him. I believe that in the middle of the week, I believe the rapture happens. I believe that will happen on the Feast of Trumpets. This is just my belief. Then there's 3.5 years later, the temple will have been restored. The Antichrist will let the Jews begin to make their sacrifices again. Then when the temple is restored, he will stop the sacrifices. He will walk into the temple, and he will declare himself God. He will be the abomination of desolation that Christ mentioned in Matthew chapter 24 that we saw in the book of Daniel. And then, of course, the wrath of God is poured out because he has desecrated the temple. And at this time, he then makes people have an alliance with the Antichrist system, and you have to choose to take the mark and number of his name in order to buy or sell. So I think you can see if you're someone that believes in a pre-wrath rapture, where you're not going to know any of this stuff. And I think what's interesting is that my opinion, and this is great speculation, is what excited me about being able to share with you today about the UFM, is the fact that I see a possibility that we could have a cataclysmic event. I don't know, maybe this new movie out called Left Behind, maybe the rapture will trigger it, I don't know. But some economic collapse for some reason, and therefore we immediately see the UFM and the EU come together and come to the very forefront to salvage their economy as well as militarily. And what I'm trying to express is everything's in place, that we don't need 20 years to let things happen any longer. That if the rapture happened today, in a very short span of time with electronic technology and what's going on, these two alliances could come together and truly have their own economic system, truly have their own electronic economic system, and we could see how this would fulfill. Now, you're not going to get China all numbered and involved in that span of time, and all Russia, because Russia, I don't think, could care less about it. But so we have seen, as I aforementioned, that this empire that the Bible speaks of is not worldwide. It is the world that was known in the days of Yeshua Jesus, and that is the old Roman Empire that ruled the known world. All right, so here's the mind that has wisdom, Revelations 13 and 18. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And of course, this is where we get 666. Many people have come up with many things. I remember 32 years ago when I first got in church, boy, the hype was the rapture. You know, what I was taught was it could happen any minute, any second. And, you know, fear is a great motivator and still is. But knowledge is a great thing to make a choice from. But I said that to say this. I now, in my opinion, recognize that God gave us His seven feasts, and God doesn't do anything that is not according to His calendar. He's not coming to catch His church off guard or unaware. We're not children of darkness. We're children of the light. And I said all that to say this, that the new book out, I'm not qualified to make this statement, but I will say it, the new book out about the Shemitah and the seven-year cycle and all that, that doesn't fit Daniel. The blood moons and all that do, but there's some things that will not fit biblically. None of us know it all, okay? But what I'm trying to say is this. Even 32 years ago, I got really deep into this 666, and then we had the explosion of computers, and then here in 1993, the beginning of the internet, and the barcodes, and boy, everybody showed you how the three major bars in every code represent 6666, and that's true. And then we begin to see this number as we get closer pop up and appear. And it's funny that many places that 666 appears really do seem to be labeling Antichrist-type spirits, if that makes sense, or Antichrist-type governments. So I believe all of these things, just like the blood moons and others, are simply, as we get approach the day, it is God's commercials or flashing road signs saying, beware, wake up, keep this in mind. So that's what I believe all these things are. I don't believe that any one of them means any great thing in particular, except for that last trump. And when we hear it, that'll mean everything we need to know. But I believe that it definitely has been walking us in to where a Christian can see we are in the season. And with my limited knowledge of what I'm teaching here, I just want to share that in 32 years, I have never seen where this, I don't really know of much, if anything, maybe a couple of things I won't get into, that have to happen that the church couldn't leave and it not all be finished in 3.5 years before the Antichrist walked into the temple. I mean, it's all in place. That's my opinion. Couple of things that are lacking, and I'll get into that later. All right, so here we go in Revelation chapter 5. So what I'm trying to express by that is we really are, if we understand biblical prophecy, we're at the door, folks. And maybe it's just me, but I have never seen such spiritual confusion in my whole life in the church. I have never seen such spiritual confusion, babble, in the church. And this is not me slamming churches. I'm talking about even in our own church. People are confused and they don't understand, as long as they keep their mind in the world system, and their mind on the things of the world, there's no way that they're going to be able to cleanse themselves from confusion, because they don't understand how their brain is wired and the way the brain works. And therefore, they are being programmed. And when you think a thought, remember when Jesus said, I'm way off track here. Remember when Jesus says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And he says, if you look on a woman to commit adultery, you've already done it. Well, now science will tell you, when you think a thought long enough, you might as well have done it, because you have worn that groove, that thought process in the mind. I'm trying to express this. Therefore, when you have nightly news, when you have programs, when you have things you're continually allowing to come into your mind, you are unwittingly and unknowingly allowing things into your brainstem, into the thought process of your mind, that will keep you unaligned with biblical thought process. And therefore, not because you're bad, but out of your ignorance, you have allowed the things of the world to infiltrate and build a stronghold in your mind to where you can't recognize truth because you're babbled, you're confused. Now, let me get off that soapbox. Okay, so let's go on and I'll bring this to a close. Revelations 15 and 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark. So we have the beast that comes up with an image, just like Nebuchadnezzar did. He built that great image. All the governors, everybody had to come. They had to bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego didn't do it. Into the fiery furnace they're thrown. That which has been shall be. But this time he's going to have a mark whereby you might buy or sell. And a very deep word study of this mark is like a stake. It's something to impale. And of course, today, none of us would be shocked whatsoever. We're impaling and injecting pets and cattle, and some people say, oh, they're injecting people with the chip now. Well, so what? And please, I hope I'm not a deceiver. That has nothing to do with belonging to the Antichrist system. That's no allegiance, and might be a pretty handy thing if you had kids that were lost. And I know how that can sound frightening, and I'm not sure that I would allow that, but I am here to say this. I don't believe that has anything to do with giving your soul to Satan. What has to do with giving your, because if I want to get that dogmatic, I can use your social security number. Oh, you took one of those. So I think you get what I'm saying. Okay, so we see how he's going to give us, we're in Revelations 15, and I saw, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name. Now, this victory can be for a good fight for the faith, where people will finally come to the knowledge that Yeshua is Lord, or also that give their heads, because they will not give in or accept this system. That's what he's doing. He's hunting down all in that empire, in that those nations that he controls, to allow him to be supreme leader and Lord. In Revelation chapter 19 and 20, and the beast, the man of sin, was taken, and with him the false prophet, the one that alludes to him as being Messiah. This will be the false Elijah that says the head of the false religious system. I don't know if we'll get into it later, and I'm babbling here in the closing moments, but I believe, this is my belief, that you're going to see the Roman church and the Muslim faith come together. And whether that will happen right after the resurrection of the dead and the rapture of the church or just before it, I know not. But I believe that you are going to see, believe it or not, Christians embrace Muslims. And I know we're to love all humanity, but we're to hate every false doctrine and every false way. And I think you can already be seeing this happening in the ecumenical society. So this false prophet is the one that unifies, think about it, it's a slow process. He unifies the religions. Why would we be hated of all men for Christ's name's sake? Because if you are a follower of Jesus and believe he was God come in the flesh, regardless of if you've got three people in your Godhead or you have it divided differently, you better have Jesus as deity or you are already of the spirit of the Antichrist. He's either God come in the flesh or he's a liar. And if you try to make him just a man or a prophet, then you have just done away with the whole purpose of the resurrection and of Calvary. And the biggest problem in the wealthy in the earth that are trying to bring to the forefront their ideas is the Bible and the people that believe in the Bible. Because we condemn certain sexual practices. We condemn any way to the Father except by Jesus. But you know, we're not out cutting people's heads off. We're just loving everyone and expressing through our lifestyle an example. Let me move on. So these both are cast alive to the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Revelations 20, verse 4. And I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given them, and that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. I hope this somehow is bringing some clarity to the miracle of the Word of God. Whether we have formulated a correct interpretation or not, it certainly is hugely coincidental how all this will fit, and there's no other manual in the world that was written thousands of years ago that could even name nations and the things that have transpired, and its prophecies even hold an ounce of the truth of what we're seeing our Bible hold. We are in the hands of our Father. Our future is assured. Stay in Him, and God bless.